Hello, and welcome to Beyond the Text, a conning podcast featuring insights from our insurance research department. I'm your host, Alyssa Gittleman, a director and head of consulting and customer operations here at Conning. Join me as I welcome analysts and guests to provide insights on recent publications and emerging industry trends. Today I'm here with Alan Dobbins, a director at Conning, and the author of our recently released Homeowners Report. Before I go any further, I do want to mention that this report is available to purchase on our website, conning.com. Now, to kick this off, Alan, your report is titled The Homeowners Insurance Crisis. Could you give me a brief explanation on what exactly is happening here and why is this considered a crisis?
Sure. You know, over the past several years, the combination of elevated natural catastrophe losses, regulatory constraints, and other evolving market conditions has placed significant pressure on home insurers. That period from 2017 to 2023 was particularly bumpy, and I guess we can add 2024 to that now as well, with the industry reporting substantial losses in that time frame. In response to these pressures, insurers have begun taking steps to manage. Rate increases and underwriting restrictions have been common responses, expected responses. Another significant market response, less normal, maybe less expected, has been to pull back from certain geographies altogether. Several major insurers have announced plans to stop writing new homeowners policies in states like California, Florida, Louisiana, citing the unsustainable nature of the risks involved. This trend is particularly concerning because it leaves homeowners in these regions with fewer options for coverage, leading to what one would consider an insurance crisis if alternative solutions aren't found.
Okay, interesting. But none of this really sounds new. It's like the industry has been dealing with these things for many years now. So why are we just reaching a crisis point?
Well, I think you're right about that, and perhaps we can circle back to that, the fact that the situation isn't new for the industry. But what's really bringing things to a head for homeowners now is one, a string of very challenging years for homeowners insurers from a loss perspective, the impact of natural catastrophes on those results, and maybe the third and perhaps most important is the changing nature of those catastrophes.
Interesting. The changing nature of those catastrophes. What exactly do you mean by that?
It's not just the magnitude of the losses that's unsettling the market. What appears to be more concerning is the type and the extent of cat risk that has emerged. Hurricanes still drive the largest losses per event, but since the 1990s, insurance and reinsurance markets have evolved to have a reasonably robust approach to handling hurricane risk, involving underwriting, risk management, reinsurance, capital markets to address the hurricane threat. What's disruptive about the recent string of natural catastrophe losses is the influence of secondary perils on annual cat totals.
So could you just take a minute to discuss what are the key differences between secondary and primary perils?
So hurricanes in the U.S. and other tropical cyclones, as they're known elsewhere, are typically thought of as primary perils due to the extreme loss potential they present. The industry has developed both effective risk management approaches and increasingly sophisticated models for these risks. Well-developed reinsurance solutions have evolved to meet those perils. Additional primary catastrophe perils would include earthquakes and floods. Secondary perils are natural events that, while less catastrophic on an individual basis than primary perils, can cumulatively result in significant losses. Secondary perils include strong rain, wind, hailstorms, winter storms, wildfire risk. These haven't had the same level of resources thrown at them from a modeling perspective. They haven't received the attention that primary perils have in catastrophe and aggregation modeling efforts.
So why are secondary perils posing such a problem for the industry?
I think it's probably that insurers' understanding of certain risks is changing. Hurricane Andrew in 1992 was an industry-shaping event. It changed the industry's perception of hurricane risk. A decade or so later, the flurry of hurricanes in 2004 and 2005 also reshaped perspectives on the accumulations of tropical storms, and the industry, again, sort of shifted how it responded. I think the same sort of thing is going on now. The industry's seeing activity and severity from perils in ways that it hadn't really thought about before, and is struggling to come to grips with the best way to handle it, be it wildfires or convective storms.
Okay, thank you. What would you consider the biggest surprise here?
Well, Florida, of course, is not a surprise. Problems there have been going on essentially since Andrew. California was one of the triggers behind us writing this report. California's homeowners insurance problems are relatively new. Prior to 2015, the state's loss ratio for the homeowners line was reasonably stable and comfortably within a range of underwriting profitability for most market participants. The state's long faced the wildfire peril, but wildfire events in excess of $1 billion were pretty rare. Cat losses in 2017 and 2018, dominated by wildfire activity, provided a real shock to the market and a rethinking of the wildfire peril. While the number of wildfires isn't really increasing in an alarming manner, the acreage burned by wildfires has been picking up over the last several years. According to statistics from the state, the Cal Fire Organization, 13 of the state's 20 most destructive fires in terms of number of structures destroyed occurred in the last 7 years, and 9 of the 10 largest fires in terms of acres burned occurred in the last 7 years. And it's not just the changing nature of the losses that's driving insurer concerns. Insurers are also frustrated by constraints on their ability to respond appropriately. California insurance regulation poses some obstacles. Insurers in the admitted market there are precluded from certain what you consider actuarially sound pricing responses that are allowed in just about every other state.
Could you spend some time just explaining how insurers have been responding to this?
Yeah, and that's really, again, the sort of the focal point here of our research. In 2022, both Chubb and AIG announced plans to limit their homeowners exposure, both major players in the high net worth market, which is where a lot of the losses are concentrated. Allstate announced in the same year, in 2022, that it had stopped writing new homeowners and condo insurance in the state. But the biggest blow was, of course, the press release in May of 2023 that State Farm, the market leader, stated it would stop accepting new applications, including all business and personal lines, property, and casualty, effective May of 2023. The reasons it provided for the pullback included historic losses, historic increases in construction costs that outpaced inflation, rapidly growing cat exposure, and a challenging reinsurance market. State Farm didn't make a mention of the California regulatory environment in its press release, but both Chubb and Allstate credit their decision to an inability to charge an adequate price for the risks presented by the personal lines property in the state. And in addition, you know, since that time, Farmers, USAA, the Hartford have all announced restrictions on California homeowners' capacity. Now, all those insurers that I mentioned, and that's a hefty chunk of the top 10, they all plan to continue providing renewals for existing policyholders. So the market share charts, if you look at 2023 or in 2024, they're not going to look sharply different. But for residential property owners seeking new coverage, you know, either a new home purchase or, you know, a first-time homeowner, essentially more than 50% of the traditional market has either severely restricted writing new business or disappeared entirely. A supply shock like this, in the absence of any additional market constraint, such as a regulatory impediment, would normally elicit a strong pricing response, but with the pricing constraints that I noted, the immediate results are likely continued expansion of the FAIR plan, the state-sponsored plan, and then increased demands on the E&S market.
Now, we've been reading a lot about the Midwest as a hotspot for natural catastrophes lately. Is that another area of concern?
Yeah, indeed. The Midwest is going through its share of disruption as well. For the collection of Midwestern states, the number of natural catastrophes in the last 5 years, that period from 2019 to 2023, was up almost double, and the total insured losses were up almost 150%. Headlines like Minnesota's the new Florida or Iowa is the new Florida are not uncommon to see now in reference to the region's catastrophe problems. The Midwest certainly bore the brunt of the 2023 catastrophes, Midwestern cat losses for 2023 exceeded the annual loss for, I think, 9 of the last 10 years. Illinois and Missouri were the hardest hit, but sort of closely followed by Ohio and Minnesota. The key perils that are causing the problems there: flooding, hail, tornadoes, windstorm cats, and other, and then things like non-cat weather too are causing problems.
So how has the market responded to this?
Well, the market views the current conditions as a significant disruption, and the result has been a withdrawal of capacity, rating downgrades, loss of reinsurance protection, restructurings in some cases. Insurers have responded with strong pricing increases, but also with market exits. Reinsurance market conditions in the Midwest are presenting real challenges for Midwest insurers, particularly for small mutual insurance companies, which are particularly vulnerable to adverse trends in the sector.
Thank you. You mentioned earlier that this is not the first time the homeowners line has experienced some of these pressures. Could you expand on that?
Yeah. Really, for the entire decade of the 90s, the industry lived with a combined ratio in the homeowners line above 100%. That extended period, about 23 years from 1980 to 2002, was highly unprofitable for the homeowners line. In only one year, 1987, did the industry record a combined ratio below 100%. During the 12-year period from 1982, which was Hurricane Andrew, to 2003, the homeowners line had the worst operating ratio of all the major property lines. It was about 106% on average over that period. It was 12 points higher than the all lines figure. Every other major line was below 100%. Homeowners had a negative return on surplus, while the industry was up around 7%. The homeowners market did experience a greatly improved period, although brief, between 2003 and 2007, and certainly positive relative to the prior 23 years. And so while the past 7 years that we talked about have been very troubling for the line, when considered in the context of the preceding 40 years, results aren't unprecedented. They're in fact less of a crisis than what played out in the 90s.
Oh, thanks. I think we have time for one more question, and I'd like, with that, if you could just paint a picture maybe on what you see as a way forward for the industry.
Sure. You consider insurance to be the leading risk management player, insurers to be the leading risk management player in the global financial system. So the industry has to take the lead in addressing the situation. The solution can't simply be to reduce the role of insurance in homeowners risk, because the industry's understanding of risk has changed or evolved. And if the industry doesn't act swiftly and propose solutions and implement solutions, it risks inviting more aggressive intervention from government, from regulatory bodies. The crisis in the homeowners line is a multifaceted problem, and it's going to require a multifaceted solution. It's critical, though, not to let scope and complexity of the problem block the path forward. The U.S. border immigration problem has stalled for decades, in part because any discussion typically devolves into the need for a comprehensive solution. The desire for a comprehensive solution can be a real obstacle to finding a way forward, setting an overly ambitious scope and creating an all-or-nothing mindset where smaller, more achievable fixes are kind of pushed to the side. And this prevents the necessary incremental progress that could address specific issues while leaving the door open for more complex reforms later, down the road. In terms of the homeowner's problem, elements of a solution are already assembling and include things like, again, effective use of the pricing mechanism, which means ensuring property owners understand and pay the full cost of the risks their properties face, which will help to control development flows in high-risk locations. Effective use of the risk management function of the insurance contract, having insurers expand beyond the traditional post-loss payment role and emphasize the role of the insuring agreement to promote policyholder preparation, prevention, mitigation activities. Certainly greater use of capital markets for risk transfer, expanding surplus lines capacity, this is already happening. Better modeling, also already happening as well, with some innovative startups racing to fill the modeling void in secondary perils, and utilizing enhanced data and analytical abilities to improve primary peril models. And of course, legal reform, legislative reform, regulatory reform, all important elements. And then parametric solutions, another element that's already out there that is no doubt part of the ultimate solution. So the private market, the industry can move forward with these and innovation around these and other elements that will, that should allow the market to settle on a robust solution.
Great. Thank you so much, Alan, for joining me today and sharing your insights with us and going beyond the homeowners market space with us. And thank you all for listening to today's episode of Beyond the Text. If you're interested in learning more about what you heard today, or you want to purchase this report, it is available at conning.com, or you could always send us your questions at insuranceresearch@conning.com. We hope you will subscribe to this podcast and join us for our next episode as we stay up to date on industry trends. Thank you.